first on our public hearing agenda today is conditional use number 2550, Milton DE Solar CSS LLC.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for solar arrays to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 30.55 acres more or less. The property is lying on the west side of Harbison Road, which is Route 5, approximately 850 feet south of the intersection of Diamond Farm Road, which is Sussex County Route 257, and Harbison Road. The 911 address is not available, and the tax parcel ID is District 235, Map 26, Parcel 17.01. Submitted into the record, Madam Chair, we have a copy of the applicant's conditional use site plan. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibit materials and presentation materials. We have a copy of the staff analysis report. We have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We have a copy of the DelDOT service level evaluation response letter, and we have two written comments which are included in your paperless packet. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Whitehouse. Is someone here representing this application? Good afternoon. Turn the mic on for us, please.
Oh, we just went over that. Follow instructions.
Everybody does it.
It's always the first one.
Every single one.
Mouse works here too, I believe. All right. Well, good afternoon. My name is John Falkowski. I'm a civil engineer with Becker Morgan Group, 309 South Governors Avenue, Dover, Delaware. We are here today. I have gentlemen Steve McDonough and Paul Reduccia from Amoresco Solar. And John Tracy, our legal counsel for the project. Should they be needed to testify, they'll come up and introduce themselves. I'll go ahead and take you through this project, if I can work the mouse. So again, we're here for the Milton DE Solar CSS LLC. It is a community solar project located in Milton, Delaware, just south of Milton on Harbison Road. There's just a zoomed out aerial so you can see where this is. It's near the intersection of Carpenter Road and Harbison Road. To the west side of Harbison. This is a 30.55 acre parcel zoned AR1. Existing use agriculture, as you can see in the background aerial, and we are proposing a 13.6 acre community solar array. You can see the outline here of the solar array. That is the actual conditional use area, is 13.6. The array area itself, the fenced area, is 11.52 acres. A little bit smaller than the total acreage here.
What was that number again? I'm sorry.
It's probably right up there, too.
Which one?
The actual fenced area.
11.52.
52, okay, thank you.
This is just a colorized site plan of what was submitted for the engineering site plan. It's a little bit easier to see, and I just want to highlight some of the elements of the site plan you see here. Most of these are requirements from the solar ordinance. But I'll go over them. You can see the array positioned here in the center of the site. Access will be taken off Harbison Road. You can see a new access point will be to the south end of the site here. That'll be a new 14-foot wide access road with turnaround provisions for fire marshal, as well as a Knox box at the fence for emergency personnel and that sort of thing. You're wondering why maybe this notch out in the back of the property. This is a lower area of the site. You'll see on the site plan that has the contours, there's actually a lower depressed area through there. Not the greatest farmland, and also not the greatest for a solar array to be there as well. So that area is left there to mimic the natural drainage and allow it to, it does collect here a little bit and then spills off into the ditch. You'll see here we also have the 30-foot wide landscape buffer. This is really the subdivision buffer that's been applied to solar. It's the county standard at this point, but it is a 30-foot wide triple row stagger. It's a 70-30 mix of evergreen and deciduous, and it goes around the entire perimeter of the property, or of the fenced area. The fencing will be a 7-foot high fence with a mesh screening on it. There we go. And this is just a visual. This is actually a rendering. This is a visual representation of the buffer. This is the newer buffer, and I would love to give you real-life pictures of this new buffer, but as you know, a lot of these that have the mesh screening and the buffer have not gone to construction. I know there's a lot of concern about what this is going to look like in real life. We hope to get you those soon. There's some under construction, but we should have those for you soon. But this is minus the mesh. I wanted to show the fence, but there would be additional mesh screening on this fence here, but this is a graphical representation of the mix of the evergreen and the deciduous trees. And you can see the pollinators underneath. This will be a meadow grass that gets planted in and around all the solar array and all the landscaped area. Just some overview, some of the design standards that are fairly typical at this point, but there's some in here that are not. You know, this is a benefit to the local community through the subscriber program that you've all heard a lot about. It does benefit the local community with lower power costs. There is no traffic really with these projects. They see 1 to 2 visits a month, so there's no increase in traffic like a typical development project would bring here. It is a renewable energy source, obviously, but it does not produce odors, dust, gas, smoke, or fumes. There is little to no noise. There's actually a small hum at the inverter, which is on this project. It's centrally located, more than 450 feet away from all neighbors. At the property line, there's no noise. At the inverters, there's a small hum, a whisper almost. Like I said, the pollinators that get planted in the array area and throughout, that's actually by design. That is that actually reduces runoff, and Sussex Conservation District has recognized that as a acceptable practice for the solar projects. So when this goes to them for review, this is something that has been tried and tested, and that will get us compliance with those regulations. Also, there will be no herbicides, no chemicals, no pesticides used to control weeds or any of that on this project. Already touched on the 30-foot landscape screening, as well as perimeter fencing and the emergency access provisions, and those are the Knox box and the turnaround areas and that sort of thing. As required, we will post a bond and decommission the project at the end of its life. This one is a 25-year lease, and so at the end of the 25-year lease, that would be decommissioned, or there is an option to renew the lease to the... We actually did a glare study on this project for aviation and for the neighbors. That's included in your packet, Appendix 2.12, but there is a glare study that shows no adverse impact on the neighbors or Georgetown Airport or any aviation, so that is in your packet. Okay, we've heard a lot about the interconnection process with solars. I know there's been a lot of discussion lately amongst yourself and Jamie with some of the recent applications. Becker Morgan personally have been processing these applications since 2021 when these came to be. And you're wondering why it goes through the county process, gets approved, and seemingly they're not getting built. Out of 58 applications, 35 approved, 15 pulled building permits, roughly 10 are under construction or are constructed. And that reason is because the interconnection process is a very long process. It starts, most of these developers that you're seeing now under construction, they're roughly a 3.5 to 5 year process. Whereas, you know, the county process for a conditional use is roughly 2.5 years. So that's the gap. And while you're seeing, you know, some of the projects that were approved years ago are either just being built or haven't been built yet. They are in this process somewhere in these steps, and I'll go over these. This project in particular is in a great position because we are through most of these steps already. And the first step is applying to Delmarva Power. You get assigned a queue. They then need to do an interconnection study to require system upgrades, depending on where the property is, you know, what distribution upgrades are necessary to facilitate that project and its location. They give a cost estimate that then gets signed, and those costs paid by the developer. So a lot of the projects that you've seen before you in the past maybe have not taken that risk. You know, those are large costs to bear before you have a county approval. And so, as Jamie mentioned, it's kind of the, you know, chicken and egg scenario where they might want to wait until they have a county approval before they pay these costs and sign agreements and that sort of thing. This project in particular has already gone through the study, already gotten the cost estimate, and already paid for those upgrades before we've seen you. In fact, before we applied to the county for this hearing today. So we're right here between step four and five. Step five would be distribution upgrades actually completed by the end of this year. But should we get approval from council, from your recommendation from yourselves and approval from council, we would look to start construction in September, and then the timing would align perfectly with the completion of the distribution upgrades, and you'll see this come to fruition much quicker than you've seen projects in the past go to construction. You'll see a commercial operation date, COD as they call it, April of 2027.
Are you suggesting you're going to have approval from DP&L by the end of the year? Is that what that?
This is actually the upgrades necessary that Delmarva Power would construct. Those improvements to the system would actually be done by the end of the year. Okay. They already have their
board with the process to move forward.
Yes. Any questions on that? I do want to go back just to some of these project overview design standards. I will bring attention to one of the letters we did receive from the neighbors. It's a therapeutic horse farm, a riding center. So we have read that letter. We've spoken with those owners. We actually plan to meet again tomorrow with them. But we went through all their concerns. I didn't read it as an opposition letter so much as a we would like to see these things incorporated. And we believe we do, we go through the letter, every one of these items that we've hit, and some of them are standard county conditions, but every one of these hits their letter, one of their concerns. For instance, the traffic, the pesticides, they wanted pollinators, runoff, increased runoff. These are all being handled by what we're proposing with this plan. Landscape screening, the fencing and decommissioning, as well as the glare study. So all of these were kind of highlighted in their letter, and all of these we believe are addressed. There was one comment in there about requesting a 200-foot buffer, which is, you know, this is their property to the north. They're pretty much right up on the farm. We are, hard to tell from this scale, but we are roughly 75 feet away from the property line with the nearest array. So while we can't provide 200, we are providing an increased buffer along that north property line. And we'd be more than happy to even increase the landscape buffer if necessary on that north side.
What is the area as it is right now? 75, did you
75
say?
75 feet, yes.
Thank you.
So just in summary, you know, this facility is a public utility under Sussex County Zoning Code. It does meet the conditional use in that it is of public or semi-public character, essential to and desirable for general convenience and welfare of Sussex County residents. It does promote 7.3 of the county comp plan, which encourages renewable energy. There are no adverse impacts as we've noted. Adequate landscape buffering and perimeter fencing, no increase in traffic. Like I mentioned before, this is 1 to 2 visits a month, and that's really to inspect it periodically, make sure they're not damaged. A lot of them are on remote systems so that if there is damage, it would notify them and they would come out immediately and fix the issue. No significant noise, glare, lighting, dust, or odor, and it does comply with Ordinance 2920. One thing I forgot to touch on is the landscape screening that has been kind of the new standard, I'll say. We haven't seen it too often in Sussex County because those projects are just now coming into fruition. We have one in Bridgeville that is going to construction right now with another solar client, and that will have the mesh screening. but there's been a lot of strides in ensuring that will work efficiently and not be a maintenance concern. I've seen in other counties where the mesh screening is coming off the fence. We think it's because they were installed with plastic zip ties, which is kind of the industry standard. And essentially these things are wind sails in the middle of a farm field. So we've developed a detail that basically has tension wires on the top and bottom of the fence, as well as using beefier stainless steel metal straps. And then that will keep these these mesh screenings from coming off the fence paneling, but also beefing up the fence post structures themselves as well to accommodate that additional force, because these are, you know, wind sails. So we believe moving forward, you shouldn't see any issues with that, but just wanted to bring that up as a point. With that, happy to take any questions.
Okay, thank you for your presentation, and we will start with any questions we may have with Mr. Passwaters.
You had talked about the humming, no noise. Obviously, you're only 75 feet away from the therapeutic horse center there, and they do a lot of outdoor riding lessons.
Sure.
You know, obviously, those horses are not used to that noise. They have not been used to that noise. And I'm just concerned on, you know, what that happens to these children or adults that are on that, these horses out there. Again, I know horses are very native animals, but I know this arena and center has been there 15 plus years and are doing wonderful things for our community. I know there was talks about 200 foot buffer there. This would be approved. I would love to see that 200 foot buffer. And then talking about your landscape buffer, you know, you've got the five evergreens planted every 100 linear foot, and then the rest is your canopy trees. I'd like to see more evergreens within that landscape buffer.
Sure, I can. Can I respond to that, or you want to?
I'm sorry.
Can I respond to?
Yes, absolutely.
Sure. So completely agree with you on the evergreen trees. At one point, the county buffer looked like 10 evergreens per 100 feet and double stacked. We believe that to be a better buffer. This is essentially the subdivision ordinance buffer that has been kind of the requirement as of late, which does have the deciduous trees, which do lose their leaves in the wintertime. So I don't think we'd be opposed to a different composition. I think more of a 100% evergreen buffer would even be more appropriate than this composition. So happy to work with you there on whatever you'd like. We could certainly mix that in or substitute with more evergreens or what have you.
On the trees, they look like they're well-established trees in the rendering that you did.
Yep. Those are about a five-year established, the rendering.
Okay. So the height wouldn't be there automatically?
No.
I mean, they wouldn't be
automatically.
Do you have a
caliber? I actually have something if I could submit to the record. I actually had I'll pass it out to the group if you don't mind.
Sure.
Because I didn't have time to get it
in
the public record.
In regards to the tree, something I didn't see unless I missed it, the caliber, maybe not always the size of the tree, the height, but the caliber and the maturity of that tree. Sometimes I've seen it where we'll go with 1 inch and it snaps off with the first hard winter we have. So if we could, you know, obviously look at maybe getting a 1.5 to 2 inch caliber tree.
Yep, I think we have spec'd a little bit larger one. I'd have to confirm on my landscape plan, but they are they're bigger than 1 inch.
Right, I might miss that, sorry.
So what you have there, that's actually, since none have been constructed in Sussex County with the mesh screening, that's actually one that another client of ours constructed in Kent County near Viola, and they, because the mesh screening isn't required there, this particular property, they voluntarily provided that mesh screening. And so what you're seeing there is certainly not the Sussex County landscape buffer by any means, but this project is under construction and that mesh screening was installed on the fencing. And so that just gives you an idea of, even with not a fully established 5 to 10 year beautiful looking buffer, what that would look like and how it does shield that view from the neighbors with just the screening alone. So I just wanted you guys to see that. And certainly as these are constructed in Sussex County, we hope to get you some real live pictures on, you know, what these conditions are showing and how they're being built.
Okay.
As far as the hum to the inverters, like I said, the inverters are right here, and that's about 450 feet to the property line, even further to the building. There is one training yard here. It's a very small hum at the inverter, but at 450 to 500 feet, there is no noise. It'll be whisper quiet at the property line.
No other questions.
Did you want
Thank
to
you.
On that? And if I could bring up Steve McDonough introduce himself, and he could elaborate on that if you allow.
All right, sure. Just give us your name, sir.
Greetings, Steve McDonough from Ameresco, and our national renewable energy provider. We have offices in Columbia, Maryland, and Washington, D.C. Just to speak on the noise, so yeah, John mentioned that it's centrally located within the array, purposely to shield as much of the noise from the neighboring properties, and it is roughly 450 feet to the nearest property. So at that stage, one thing that's important to note is these only make noises like during the day when they're generating electricity. At night, they don't make any noise. During the day at the property line, the decibel levels will be about 35 to 38 decibels, which is the equivalent of a rural ambient background noise, which is denoted to be about 30 to 43 decibels in a rural area of the background noise. So it falls within the background noise of a rural area. And yeah, that's all I wanted to comment on the noise. Do you have anything else?
I have a question on the noise.
Sure.
I got a feeling with this that, you know, studies have been done and that's great, but how many times have we run up against something like this where I'm not an expert by any stretch, but I know animals have more sensitive hearing than we have. And I know frequencies play a different effect on that. You know, the old thing with the dog whistle, you and I can't hear it, a dog does.
Yeah.
Have studies been done that, to your knowledge, to do with horses? I mean, these horses are there for therapeutic reasons with children and others that have struggles in life. And, you know, so the last thing I think we need is a horse to freak out because of something like that. So yeah. Just curious, what do you know about that? Do you know anything of that?
I can't honestly say know anything about the impact on horses, but I do know horses in the therapeutic environment are generally horses that like don't spook easily. I can't say that for sure, but that's my understanding from my limited knowledge of these types of horses. But I don't honestly know the impact of that noise and frequency on a horse outside of the fact that it would be barely audible, you know, at that distance.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I mean, I realize, you know, 35 decibels is not that much for you and I, but I just didn't know how that plays in on any kind of animals or pets or, you know, those types of things. So.
Great question. Yeah. Anyone else have anything on the noise? Okay, Mr. Allen?
Quick question, near the life expectancy on the mesh fencing? I mean, it's, because it's what, fiberglass?
It's a polypropylene plastic material.
I mean, it'll stretch.
I'd be pure speculating, like, but I'm imagining it's the lifespan of the solar facility of 25. I mean, it's a plastic polypropylene material. It lasts a while.
Tension cables on top and bottom, correct? Is that what you said? Tension cables on the top and the bottom of it?
Yes.
Is there any way that you could put one in the center with a wind that would hold that from blowing?
there will be attachment points. I mean, it's quite a challenge when the mesh came about to make sure that we can adequately attach this to the fencing and make sure it stays. We think that the deeper structures are actually embedding the posts even more to account for the wind load on the fence. And then the tension wire, like you said, and the stainless steel straps. One product we've been looking at that it will go in on the bridge job under construction right now is you can actually get wind cutouts built into them, so they could do wind cutouts every 10 feet. This particular one, we're also looking at a product that has the same 70% opacity, but it actually, the way they weave it, it gives almost like a striped appearance, or not appearance, but a striped feel to the mesh, and it actually allows more wind passage. So that's one thing we're looking into. That's a manufacturer that is out there.
I've seen enough sporting facilities using the mesh fencing. Yeah, I see them coming down a lot. So
they're common on baseball outfields, yeah. That sort of thing. That's their main use, and those last forever.
Well, and as I've said so many times, we don't know what we don't know because there's so many that are being approved, and we're requiring, because I'm actually the one that was completely behind that initially with a woven fabric on there. But we don't know what the conditions are going to be since they're not being built, and then for us to say, oh, that was a terrible idea to require that, or maybe it isn't. But you mentioned earlier when you were doing your testimony, the remote notification. Would something like that be part of your remote notification? Because if somebody's not checking it on a regular basis and there's a tear on it, then we all have to look at that until somebody comes down to
That would be part of the monthly periodic inspections. That wouldn't be remote. There'd be no way to tell if the fence came undone or, you know, if there's a large windstorm, maybe it's something you could monitor. If there's a large wind event, to maybe come out and check on it afterwards, that would be about the only possible way to monitor.
Yeah, I was just going to comment on the operation and maintenance. So we do have regular operation and maintenance, and that would be something that would be part of the inspection, is to inspect the actual fabric on the fence and do any replacements to that fabric on the fence.
And that would happen on a monthly basis?
That happens every 6 months, the operation and maintenance, so correct.
So if there's a tear on it, it's going to stay for 6 months until it's...
I mean, if someone notifies us of the tear, that can certainly change. And my understanding is that, you know, the material will be behind the buffer as well. Not to say that we don't want the tear to, you know, maintain for a long period of time, but yeah, it will be replaced as soon as, you know, we're notified of that replacement.
Okay.
It'll be, you know, denoted in the inspections when we're there every 6 months.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Allen, do you have anything else?
No, 6 months seems like a long time now. Mm-hmm. Maybe, but
great.
That's all.
Okay, Mr. Collins?
Yeah. Just a couple of things. One, I think you mentioned that you had up to 75 feet in the perimeter between the horse farm and the solar array. I think you offered to plant all of that. So it sounds like you could plant the compliant 30-foot wide landscape screening and then evergreens for the rest of it. And that would probably meet the county code without any exception, and also add the additional vegetative screening that might help with any concerns that the horse farm has.
Yeah. You're suggesting just planting the remainder of that buffer?
I thought you offered that that could be something you would do. That sounds like a reasonable condition.
Yeah, frankly, the 200-foot buffer would seriously, it would impact the array layout. We had the 75 feet, and what I had suggested was we could add to Commissioner Passwater's comment about additional evergreens, that we did have the space, we could either add another row or substitute the deciduous with more evergreens. We certainly have the space to beef up that buffer. We've done that on...
Sounds like you could do several more rows of evergreens.
Yeah.
Actually, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there's that. And then during the construction phase of the project, there's going to be a fair amount of noise. What are the things that you might be able to do to minimize the amount of noise and disruption to the horse farm? And that also might mean coordination with the horse farm around, you know, days that they don't have a lot of active riders or what have you.
Yep, we had discussed that.
Yeah.
Did you want to?
Sure. Yeah, so we've worked lots of projects at, you know, schools and universities where we have to work around their schedules. So that's something we've definitely talked about, is that we don't want to impact their operations during construction. So we could work with them to, you know, the days that they don't have operations or kids and visitors, that we work closer to the horse farm. Days where they have operations, we would work away from the horse farm. So those are just some of the minor things that we could do, but we've certainly worked with lots of organizations where we had to accommodate schedules, and we don't want to impact their operations as we haven't wanted to impact other clients.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and we're going to meet with the folks from the therapeutic horse farm tomorrow to discuss a variety of things, including that. Yeah.
I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Ready, John?
I have a couple small things that I noticed in your first PowerPoint there that you had. And some of this just is probably to do with solar arrays in general. One of the things that you had written down there was about the benefit to locals and to businesses. So like putting power back to the grid.
Sure.
And this is probably just me with still trying to gain a better understanding of this. From what I've always understood from this, this property is private, going to be privately owned, correct?
Correct.
But it's going to be basically subbed out to whoever builds the solar array. But how does it necessarily benefit the local homeowner and the businesses? Because wouldn't the money from that go back to either the solar company and or the landowner as a profit or offset kind of thing, more so than, you know, helping all of us? Or is it just a green statement that helps all of us?
And sorry, we've presented, I guess, so many of these over the years,
I forgot that
we weren't rehashing it, but I'm certainly happy to explain it a little bit. And Steve, if you want to take.
Sure.
Explain the program a little bit and how it does benefit the local.
Yeah, so it's a Delaware community solar program, so really designed to meet some of the goals that the state of Delaware has established around renewable energy. And really the main thing is that anyone that wants to participate in this solar farm, they have to be in, within the Delmarva territory. And they would get a credit on their bill, a 10% credit on their electrical costs that would show up on their bill. And that's really the main, point of the program is that they would get a 10% reduction off the electricity cost. So, and it could be anyone from immediately around the farm, around the property, or within the broader Delmarva territory.
So you're saying the neighbor says they want to be a part of this?
Correct.
And even though that's not on their property, they're going to get a 10% credit?
Yeah, the horse farm, for example.
I think you just suggested anybody in the Delmarva area.
Yep.
So you, me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something that, we haven't selected a community solar provider, but they can often focus on the immediate local community, or they can go broader with Delmarva. So we haven't selected anyone. We haven't spoken to them about the program, but that's something we would be willing to offer as a focus more on the local community within Sussex County.
So for the horse farm to say, yes, we want to be a part of that. They got to buy into it. They got to just sign a paper. What do they need to do?
It's basically, they have to sign the paperwork.
That says what for them that they would.
Yeah.
Free to sign up. You sign up for the program, and then once you're part of that subscribing program, then you take benefit of the.
Okay, but they're not signing their rights to something else away because of this. That's not how that's set up. Yeah, I'm just asking. So, I've been around for a little while, and I know nothing's free. So I'm just trying to make sense.
It's only 10% off. It's not free.
No, I get it. But 10% off, better than 10% paid, I think. So.
But the premise of the program is that these homeowners, they could only put so much on their property or on their roof individually. Yeah. And so the community solar program was developed so that collectively you could do a 30-acre or 11-acre array, but up to 4 megawatts AC. And then the locals and anyone essentially on the Delmarva grid could benefit from a collective array rather than a series of arrays on everyone's roofs. And
it's kind of surprising to me, though, that anybody at Delmarva could sign up for that.
Yeah, and so
there would be enough that would be generated that would allow 10% reduction for that many people.
It generally goes into the grid. So that grid reaches everywhere. So you just, the only caveat is you have to be in the Delmarva subscriber, and then you sign up for this program. And
Just one thing to clarify. It's the project obviously only generates so much electricity, so it's not for all of Delmarva. Like anyone within Delmarva could buy into go into the program, but this would probably support about the electricity consumption at roughly 400 or 500 homes. So it'd be limited to about 400 or 500 average residences that would buy.
So first in, first served.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But again, if we wanted to focus on Sussex County, that's something that we could work with our community solar subscriber organization to focus their efforts and find in subscribers in Sussex County.
So is that something that we could designate for any application? Because really, Sussex County is the one that's being put out here by having these solar arrays.
Mm-hmm.
They should be serving our county.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate you answering the question. I'm just trying to, I still don't fully get it. And I don't want to say I don't fully buy it. I'm trying to make sense because I realize somebody owns that property. And the beneficiary, the main beneficiary is going to be the owner of that property. And I think it should be. That's their property. But I'm just trying to make it make sense in my mind. And I'll get a better understanding. But I appreciate you guys explaining that just a little bit better.
Yeah.
Were you going to say?
One of the things I do want to clarify is, we can focus our efforts in Sussex County and try to get as many subscribers in Sussex County, but if we can't get those subscribers, then we'd have to go broader to Delmarva.
Well, I understand that, but Sussex County should certainly come first.
Yes, yes. Okay.
One other question. It's a little bit smaller, I think, but it was also one of your points. I thought it was strange, but one of the things that you emphasized there was no pesticides or herbicides used, ever? You're saying ever? So you could have wasp nests and whatever else in there, and it's just going to be what it's going to be? Or You know what I mean? Because I think the point of it, what are you trying to say? Because it's not a not tillable ground anymore, that you're not going to get, you know, some of the things from the farmer being put on the ground? Or was that not where you were trying to go with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's planted as a pollinator meadow. So our intention is to never use herbicides and pesticides. And I haven't been part of any projects that were used herbicides and pesticides before. So that's the intention moving forward, is to take that approach.
And then the maintenance on the ground, cut once in a while?
It's mowed usually 2 or 3 times a year.
Yeah. Yeah. And same thing on that perimeter, like where we were speaking about that 75-foot buffer. So if it were not planted with the evergreens or the trees, then what's the rest of it? Just like same kind of thing? It's like a meadow that grows up and it's maybe knocked down twice a year? Is that the thought?
Yeah, the remaining property, you know, we're still talking to the landlords of how they're going to use the remainder of the property. You know, we can control within the lease area.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll talk to the landowners about that as well.
Great, okay. So everything beyond that border, they still have the rights to?
Correct. Yeah, we're limited to the lease area within the, within that, it's 13 acres.
Okay,
And it's currently being farmed?
That's currently being farmed, yes. And I did speak to the landowners, and there's still the opportunity for the current farmer to use the land outside of the lease area to do farm it if they wish to continue to do that.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Anything else?
I appreciate it. Sorry to drag that on everybody. There was a lot of stuff there. I just didn't know.
That's good information. Yes, Mr. Robertson, do you have
just
something?
Just one question on the subscriber part of it, and maybe not so much with your application, more just because we're still always trying to educate ourselves on how these work. Is it limited to residential subscribers or commercials? Because it just strikes me, you know, if Amazon, you know, signs up for one of their giant warehouses, that's going to use up all the subscriptions potentially versus homes.
Good question.
Yeah, it's large and small, but the most beneficial is for the small commercial and residential, and beneficial both for them and also financially for us. So we're incentivized to find small commercial and residential customers. And the intention for these is to at least be 50% small commercial and 50% residential. And it'll likely be a higher portion of residential from what we've been hearing about the community solar subscriber organizations out there. Yeah. So we have no intention of, you know, doing anything with a large general corporation. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and yeah, thanks, Paul. But low and moderate income residents as well, so that'll be a focus. I think there's has to be 10% at a minimum, has to be lower moderate income. Could be a little higher, but I know it's at least 10% we have to find as far
that you have to serve.
Exactly. Oh. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Anything else? No. Mr. Whitehouse?
No, for me, thanks.
Okay. Staff? Anything? Okay. All right. You've already had a seat, so we'll see if anyone here has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2550 Milton DE Solar CSS LLC? In favor. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition? Okay. Give us your name, ma'am. You may have the floor.
Good afternoon. My name is Linda Burdine. I'm president of the board of directors for the Southern Delaware Therapeutic Ridings Facility, also known as SDTR. We're a facility located in Milton, Delaware, and we serve as all of Sussex County, and we are a nonprofit. In addition, I have been working for the last few years with Dr. Jane Goodall, who's a world-renowned conservationist. I mention that because I am very pro solar energy. So I have a definite appreciation for the solar energy farm. And we are not here in opposition to solar energy or the farm. It's a request from us for responsible changes and enforceable protections. The issue is compatibility of adjacent land use, especially where use involves medically vulnerable individuals, and we have horses with unpredictable reactions. We are asking that under conditional use, you ensure the project is compatible with neighboring properties and protects public safety. We feel very strongly that this is a safety issue. We are a unique neighbor. We are not a horse farm. We keep people referring to us as a horse farm. We are not. We are a therapeutic riding center. We serve children, we serve veterans, and we serve individuals with disabilities. We provide medically and therapeutically structured programs. And we have operated in this Sussex County since 1988. In 2025 alone, we served 690 participants. And we are supported by 150 local Sussex County volunteers. This is a long-standing, community-serving nonprofit and not of temporary use. It is a public safety issue. It is not just an inconvenience to us. Horses are prey animals. They react instantly to sudden movement, to noise, and to visual disturbances. Even minor disruptions can lead to falls from horses, injury to disabled riders, risk to volunteers and staff. And this elevates the issue from a nuisance to a safety risk, which is critical in zoning decisions. So why doesn't the standard solar conditions not be enough for us? Because the typical buffers and setbacks are designed for residential and general visual screening, and they are not designed for therapeutic environments or animal behavior sensitivity or outdoor medical programming, because as you know, we do outdoor riding, which is right along that fence line. Therefore, we are asking for enhanced site-specific conditions that are very justified and much necessary. The most critical risk to us are the startling and the spooking risk. I know we talked about glare, but it's not just the screens. It's also different pieces of equipment. We talked a little bit about the noise, but we've done research as well on horses, and you're absolutely correct that there is an issue with the horse hearing versus our hearing. And we have recognized a direct link to injury to our riders and the risk that this imposes. Construction impacts are, again, the noise that could be the beeping, backing up of a truck, a maintenance truck, heavy equipment, and then, of course, the pile drivings. And this could disrupt or halt, totally halt, our programming. We're 24/7. This isn't like during the day changing our hours or changing our riders around. Those horses are on the property 24/7. So we're also concerned about drainage and mud. Solar panels can create concentrated runoff. And we are concerned about the unsafe footing of our horses right next to that. It can create hazards for our horses via mud and also for our riders. So the ongoing operational disturbances, it's not just the construction, but it's the ongoing operations as well as the maintenance vehicles. Any mowing that incurs is an issue. We know the inverter is in the middle. However, you know, there is still a hum, and the horses have very sensitive hearing. So this is not a one-time impact. It is a permanent operational reality. We are asking, for example, the 200-foot buffer. We feel that's really critical to us from our property line versus the 50-foot that we've seen on the plans. And we also recognize that in their plans, they had a 200-foot buffer from a house that's sitting on that property. So why not allow us a 200-foot buffer? And we have the year-round vegetation screening. Yes, they have offered up the evergreens, but again, the evergreens on the plans were less than half of what the trees were. So again, it's nice to hear that they're considering really a full screen of evergreens, and we're asking for much bigger evergreens. We need at least a 7-foot barrier between our horses and what's going on the side with the solar panels. There, again, is a possibility of the web material that they're talking about. What if that's flapping? Again, the horse will spook immediately once that comes off the fencing. The construction coordination plan, we would like to have one of those. Like, we would have to have an incredible communications channel between the two organizations. There is no question about that. Like, almost daily as to what is happening. And the stormwater protections, we're asking for enforcement on those. And also, we want to put up a proposal here of possibly reallocating the property and relocating some of the positions for the solar. We've looked at it ourselves, and there is land available where we could move those panels further into the property, so we'd like to have a discussion around that. Just trying to make it workable. And again, I want to emphasize, we're trying to figure out a win-win solution here. We're not here saying don't build it, but help us get to a win-win solution. We're not opposed to a solar farm, but we're asking that they really help us create that barrier that's so important to us. So without the enforceable conditions, we think that the risks are very predictable, not speculative. And impacts would be very much ongoing and difficult to reverse. And once built, you cannot fix layout, drainage, or proximity issues. One couple of last points is an emphasis. We also have a future growth emphasis on our investment there. The program is expanding. And interestingly enough, it's a wellness program. Now, when you think of wellness, you think of calm. And being able to relax in a wellness area. And that is programming that we are just initiating this year. And we're also putting in a sensory trail that runs right along that property line. We ask you to help us in protecting our existing use, but also our future. And we only have 10 acres to work with. So, yeah, we're asking for that 200-foot buffer, but again, keep in mind that we're maintaining all of those services, all the horses, all those people on a 10-acre piece of property. So, and we have horses, stalls, and horse pastures that really bump right up along that border. So we think we're doing a balanced and reasonable ask. And we ask you to help us as we respectfully ask for a responsible solution and put us together in a win-win situation. And I will just have to add that we are not a Delmarva customer, and therefore we do not get a 10% reduction. So we've got a few things to work out between us. And on that note, I'm going to introduce Kelly.
Before you do that, Ms. Burdine, yeah. I'd like to say thank you for your comments. They're very well received. And I think I can speak on everyone's behalf up here that we really appreciate the service that you provide to all of our community in need.
And thank you
for that. It's a
great
service that you do.
Thank you.
I have a question for you, though. You're mentioning the layout of the array panels.
Yes.
And maybe situating. Was there something that you had in mind? And I know you guys are supposed to be talking tomorrow or whenever. It's a shame we didn't already have that discussion to see if this is even an option for what would work for the power and also work for the horse's exposure. What did? Can you go over to that?
Sure.
And point to it for us, what you would?
I can. Our property line is that longer line, right? So I actually walked this just yesterday with an engineer. And we did all the measurements. And we think we can get the 200-foot buffer by removing some of those panels right down that line and moving in into the property. It actually fits perfectly.
So moving it to where that little L shape is
on the left. Yeah, where there's some open space there. And we understand there's contours. We've certainly appreciate that, but we also think that that could work.
Okay. All right, thank you for that.
Can I ask you a quick question? Because I agree with everything that Commissioner Wingate said. But, you know, just so we're not talking about speculation so much on what, you know, impacts would have on the horses. Right now it's tilled, you know. I mean, do the farm equipment, does that have any impact? Or if there's aerial application, you know, pesticides, things like that on the farm behind this or next door? I mean, just give us an example of whether, you know, that type of thing impacts the horses.
Well, we have a community, really, that is the most impact, and that's a housing community. So at most, we'll get barking dogs, okay, on that side. But also, and Kelly could talk to this, that we would have to put together a whole new program to desensitize our horses, which will take months.
Well, but are they sensitive now to, you know, when this farm's tilled? You know?
Again, because we desensitize them and work with them and get them exposed to that tractor, for example.
Okay.
So that's specific to that piece of equipment,
right,
or the noise of that, what
exactly
is happening.
Exactly right. Gotcha. Exactly. So it is an entire program where we're not just training the people, but we're also training the horses. So
okay.
I'm going to introduce Kelly.
But it does raise questions around what compatible uses could exist on that property that by right people could build.
Yeah.
That might be a problem. But yeah, I echo everything that the chairwoman said.
All right. If you could just give us your name.
Yes, Kelly Boyer, 31511 Kendall Road, Lewis.
Thank you.
So I am one of the instructors and the program director at STTR. I've been with the program for 24 years now. And I can answer to your question as far as when that farmland is, have the tractors on it. It does impact our lessons to a degree, where we may have to make a decision on that horse at that particular moment of switching horses out. So it depends on the horse, the personality of the horse, the state of the horse in that day, too. And
probably what the equipment is or whatever.
Exactly. The same with the planes that are flying over spraying. It's the same impact. But I think, and so one thing that hasn't been talked about, we've talked a lot about the horses, but not the impact to our participants, because we do have many participants with sensory sensitivities. So the airplanes can be impactful to our riders. They can hear tones that we don't hear. The humming of the lights in this room will bother them. And so we do have riders that are impacted by noise that we can't necessarily hear, as well as the horses too. And then in hearing about the construction of it from potentially September to April timeframe, and I think of our veteran program with loud noises, that is a big risk for them. We would have about 3 sessions of veteran program in that time frame, and that's just a concern about the impact it would have on our veterans that participate in our program. So I greatly appreciate everyone's concern for our program and the participants in it, and it is just as much the horses as the participants that we are, just want to look out for everyone's welfare and safety.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition?
Hi, guys. My name is Tom Pete. I live at 21476 Willow Lane over there in Lewis. I've been a past board member at STTR. My son has also been a rider at the program. I'm going to assume most of you are from around here. You're familiar with Howard Tannis. My son attended Howard Tannis for 18 years. Mm-hmm. We also serve the consortium. I'm sure these guys are fine gentlemen, and I don't mean to insult them, but I might.
and
I'm sure
shoulders.
There's all of you that a special needs person has touched your life. You have to understand it's a different equation with these children. I've raised a child. I lost him last year. Mm-hmm. He's 34 years old. And you didn't do things normally. You didn't run a vacuum cleaner. You didn't do dishes. You didn't clap. When Joey went to this farm, it was the most peaceful existence that he had. Outside of Howard Tannis, great, great organization. It was all very carefully controlled. Can we build this solar farm? I'm sure we can. But these guys are going to have to talk to us. I've been in rooms with guys like this all my life. I worked at NRG. power plant over there. So no offense, guys. We made electricity. But I understand how it works. You sit in a room with these guys with the suits, and then you get out in the field. And that's where the real life starts. The guys with the bobcats, the guys with the, you know, the tools. And they may not be as sensitive to the needs that these guys are. You know, the communication is going to be really important.
Right.
That, you know, we maintain communication of what the activities are that day, how they could impact our lessons. Do we have to shut down the lessons? You know, I can't, without sitting down in a room and talking to these guys, I'm almost to a point where I'm thinking we're probably going to have to shut down a program during construction. I'll be shocked. We don't have to shut down that program. We shut down the program during COVID, barely got through it. You know, can we afford to do that again? You know, we're going to have to talk to our accountants. We're going to have to talk to the bean counters. But this is truly a jewel that we have for Sussex County.
It is.
I can tell you that from my experience. It's a very important facility. I'm sure our neighbors are nice people. I'm sure these guys are nice people. But I just don't know if they realize who we are. So I think it's important that we let them know. Okay?
All right. Thank you, sir.
Do you all have any questions?
I don't think so. Thank you very much. Okay.
Good afternoon. My name is Joe Allegra-Smith, and I'm the Executive Director for Southern Delaware Therapeutic Riding. Today, I am the voice for our participants, our instructors, our volunteers, and yes, even the horses, but I'm not going to neigh. I'll just speak.
Thank you.
As you've heard, our program serves folks with disabilities, cognitive and physical disabilities. We also have a program for veterans. We're starting a program for Parkinson's. So we are in a growing phase at SDTR. And when the property owners, Cindy and Deb, visited SDTR in 2021, they told us that they wanted to be good neighbors and that they would keep in touch with us about any future plans. And we really appreciated that commitment because we're not a horse farm, we're a therapeutic riding center. Unfortunately, we didn't receive any updates as the project moved forward. So for most organizations, a lack of communication is inconvenient. But as you've heard, for us, it can bring us to a halt. And if any of you have people in your lives that are facing challenges, you know that sometimes one single activity changes their life. So for us, it's all about safety. And this situation can cause some real safety risks. Sudden changes in the noise, traffic, construction, you've heard, can startle the horses, it can startle our riders, and put our volunteers at risk. And I apologize if I'm going to kind of bring it to a close here. I apologize if some of my requests are not quite accurate now. I'll be honest, I appreciate Steve reaching out, but he only did so last week. So we were really unaware of all of the plans. Here's what we're asking. Clear communication with the owners and developers. We really are focusing on that 200-foot buffer rather than the proposed 50-foot buffer. Landscaping, screening plans, berms, as well as trees that are 8 feet in height along the boundary. Inverter placement as far from our pastures as possible. You know, that open land that you see there, that's the pastures. That's where the horses go. Consider using solid fencing where horses are closest to the boundary. Advance notice of construction phases, especially pile driving dates. We heard about no weed pesticides or herbicides, but we would like to be informed about what is planned to be used currently and over the lifetime of this solar array. A site map with the exact location of inverters, access roads, trees, and fencing. And most importantly, coordination around activities that could affect our horses or our riders. We want to be good neighbors. As Linda mentioned, we're not opposed to this. It's just that we've got a very unique and transformative center that is changing lives in Sussex County. And we want to be able to keep doing that. We want this project to move forward in a way that protects everyone involved. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. So anyone else would like to speak in opposition? Okay, were there any other questions before we bring the representative? Okay, would you like to speak to some of the questions that were?
Paul Reduca, Amoresco, Bristol, Rhode Island, the other small state. I just wanted to say is that Amoresco, the one thing about Amoresco is that we not only develop, we construct, so we are the EPC, we are the people of the boots on the ground there. We finance and then we own and operate the projects long term. So we have operations not only for our projects but for other developer solar projects that we don't even own that we actually operate. So we have people there. We have a dedicated project manager that's at the site, an Amoresco employee. We do sub things out, obviously the electrical and stuff like that. But we will have a person on site. On there, and we could basically really work through schedules, be at a daily morning meeting.
So if you could just direct your comments to us, please.
I'm sorry. So it's something we're used to doing. We've been in some interesting situations where we've been near gun ranges, and unfortunately the shooting wasn't that great, so we had to accommodate schedules along that.
That's one I'm sure you took care of.
Yeah, no, not here, but it's something that we understand. I definitely understand it. My wife is a special needs teacher and has worked in with therapeutic horses too, as does my daughter, so I do respect what they're doing. And so we want to be a good neighbor, and I think, you know.
Can you speak to, or is it maybe someone else from your team, the question about moving some of those solar arrays? Is that even a possibility to reconfigure to allow for the 200?
We can look at the issue that you do have is that those are set strings. It's not where it's kind of like Legos, and you could just say, okay, let's just take away five, you know, five panels coming in towards this way. Unfortunately, you remove the whole rows that actually have to work on there. You know, I think, you know, we'll be on site tomorrow, and I think, you know, we could look at how we could accommodate, you know, the best way. I think the issue is around noise, obviously, and anything that's going to spook as far as the operation of it. One things that we have done in the past is to provide actually some sound walls around the inverters so that actually the noise wouldn't even propagate, you know, outside there.
And how many months of construction to be able to do?
Yeah, that was something I was going to mention too, is even though we said September to April, the core construction really of it really is within 3 months and even shorter, where the majority of the work is being done. At that point, you're talking about wiring and, you know, putting panels and stuff on there. But that's, you know, that's still 3 months is 3 months. And so that's where we're going to have to be very kind of hands-on and connected and communicating with them as far as working around their programs and stuff like that, you know.
All right. Thank you.
You know, as you said, we kind of have to work within the parameters of what we have there.
Okay. Thank you.
So I appreciate it and appreciate their contribution to the community.
I had one question for you before you go, if you don't mind. The way that that's laid out, where it's basically in the shape of a seven, if you will, that back, I guess it would be, what, the western, southwestern corner there is missing because that's a lowland. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
So with solar panels, they're basically on some type of a pole or something, right? Do you have different heights that once that's set, does it really matter if it's on a lowland? Or is it just for while you're putting it in?
Not an engineer.
Yeah, certainly we've had some issues on other solar projects, particularly in Newcastle County where there's a little bit more grade. Sussex County, you typically don't run into much grade. It's a flat farm field. But if you see on the site plan that's in your packet, it's about a 6-foot drop into a depression. It's a fairly large depression.
And but it's so, always been tilled land, correct?
It has. I think it stays fairly wet. You could kind of see, it was an updated aerial. You can see here, I mean, a little bit of browning in this corner, which would indicate to me that those crops aren't doing very well. And I believe that to be because they're oversaturated.
Not this kind of farmer.
not a farmer, but from what we hear from the farmer, this area is in a great area for farming because of that depression. It's almost 5 to 6 feet deep. And so we've had some projects that have moved forward with construction and not done any significant grading or filling those areas. And it does become a problem long-term for maintenance. The posts themselves are in those depressions in some areas, but there's wiring and all sorts of other things that could potentially be underwater. Electric and water not mixing very well.
Oh, okay, no, I was curious, and I know, you know, it's a tough situation, right? You got trying to be accommodating to what's surrounding you, and I realize that the therapeutic riding has they've showed up in full force, which is awesome. But I know the neighbors on the other side, I don't know that anybody's here, don't know that it's a problem. So, but.
The residents that she was referring to is the barking dogs and
the timers
that
up.
Sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
That's it. But thank you. Thank you for your.
Thank you all. All right. Anyone else have any other questions or comments from up here? Okay. Mr. Passwaters, what's your pleasure?
Madam Chair, I'd recommend we defer.
Because I keep forgetting that we do our motions now at the end of the public hearing. I want to throw something that's somewhat unusual out here because it sounds like there's going to be a meeting with the folks.
Great idea.
Rather than have the commission act now on what it's got, something changes and some totally different project, maybe goes to county council. Whether there's thought on holding the record open for consideration of whether it's the possibility of coming to any accommodations after the meeting, and it sounds like they're going to walk the property the next day. I don't want to hold this open forever, but
I agree with that.
You know,
great idea.
So
we're just going to keep the record open until this walk is complete.
I would say
what timeline.
Hold the record open for. You know, I'm not suggesting that there be a fully engineered preliminary site plan, but hold the record open for 10 days because that doesn't hold up council too much for any updated site plans, even if they're conceptual site plans.
Okay, with any changes that may be proposed following the discussion.
Ten calendar days.
Second.
Yeah. So let me make clear what the motion is. Yes. We're going to hold the record open for 10 calendar days for an update from the applicant following their meeting with the community about whether there are any possible revisions to the site plan that's been submitted.
Your motion?
That is my motion, yes.
And I seconded it.
Okay, the motion's been made and seconded to defer action, or excuse me, to hold the record open for 10 calendar days, as stated by Mr. Robertson. For conditional use number 2550 Milton DE Solar CSS LLC. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. And thank you for your presentation, both sides.